of a day yesterday. The Sacramento State series for the UNC Bears men's basketball team, as well as the Colorado State game, canceled. So not postponed, canceled. I was going back and forth with Coach Smiley today. Smiley's doing good. That's great to hear. I don't know what that means for the rest of the... Honestly, what does that mean for the rest of the season? I mean, the Bears had a handful of games left. So, I mean, surely they're going to play it out. And are they going to do the Big Sky Conference tournament and all that? I mean, man, it's just this is how it is now, you know? We're just going to have this. Where, you know, a good team might be rolling and then they're shut down. A team trying to get back on track, like the Bears kind of were, now they're shut down. So, I mean, I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. Yeah. Sac State canceled. Sac State canceled. Colorado State canceled. So their next game that is, as far as we know, a go, will be up against Portland State on February 25th. Boy, that's nearly over, a little under a month away. Portland State, again, February 27th. Then Weber State. And that's it. You got two Weber State games. Four games left for the University of Northern Colorado. You know, like if this was football, you wonder if they're just like, there's a couple games left. Whatever. But in basketball, yeah, you're still hoping you're going to be in that tournament. Obviously, with the way that goes. So, bummer. You know, it's weird, though. UNC, when CSU was having their COVID stuff happen to start their season, they weren't able to go up against UNC because they hadn't had practice. They were trying to figure it out. Remember that whole weird thing, you know, the tweet and all this stuff? And UNC was a little upset. CSU ended up playing a game that was supposed to be against UNC, but they played CSU Pueblo. So, I mean, if you're a UNC fan, now you're really looking at that going, well, we could have played our game. We could have played that game and we had it scheduled, yet you chose CSU Pueblo over us. And listen, I get it. I love both programs. I love the people that we work with that allow us to get great interviews on this show. But I think at the end of the day, I think they were all reasonable. They could have been reasonable with it. And they turned it out and they were all reasonable with it. But it was just the tweet that took everybody off guard. Because there was a conversation between two head coaches, two programs a week before that game that was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it go. Hey, that's fine. You know, we'll be ready if you can. If not, whatever. And then there's a tweet suddenly like, hey, it's game day. Saturday, we're playing CSU Pueblo. It's like, UNC looked at that. Wait a second, don't we have a game? So that was weird. Now here we are. This game was set. UNC can't go, and that's where we are. So bummer there for the University of Northern Colorado. Tonight, though, inside the Bears' den, Jason Alvin will be on. He's going to be talking to Coach Ed McCaffrey. Went and sat down with him in the office and busting out a, you know, half an hour discussion with Coach Mack. Probably a little bit about Dylan McCaffrey, I would imagine. A little bit about his new quarterback. So look forward to that tonight. So we'll still have some Bears coverage for you on a Tuesday night. No question about it. Some other stories? Well, how about this one? I had this all... I was going through the Mountain West Conference because this week is a big week in the conference. Colorado State plays New Mexico tonight. They got to win these games. They got, six left. And, you know, you win them all, I think there's a damn good chance you win your first ever regular season title in the Mountain West Conference. But I was looking at some of these games coming up. Well, you had Wyoming at Utah State tomorrow night, which was going to be a huge game, but got this from the Mountain West Network, from the Mountain West, Mountain West Network, their website. Wyoming at Utah State men's basketball series postponed. Not canceled, postponed. Again, you got to read that now because you don't know. Like, why is this one postponed and why is this one canceled? I don't know. Some people say, well, it's because of the conference. Well, I just looked at UNC and they canceled those two games. Probably because we're getting up against it, folks. Due to health and safety concerns, the men's basketball series between Utah State and Wyoming, scheduled for tomorrow and February 12th, has been postponed. So we'll hopefully get more updates there as we progress, but that was going to be an interesting one. San Jose State plays San Diego State tomorrow night. So that's going to be still, that one's an interesting one because San Diego State is still kind of in the mix. So Utah State sits at 11-2, and they'll pause. I don't know whose side it's on. So I don't know. I don't want to say pause, actually, because if I say one program's pausing, that means they have COVID situation. They could just be not playing this game because the other program's pausing. So I don't know who it was. But if it was Wyoming, does that have anything to do with CSU? CSU already went through that, so you would think no. But again, I'm just throwing it out there. New Mexico was having issues last week, but as far as I know, we're set to go tonight. Again, where the standings look, Boise State sits in third place now. Colorado State, Utah State, many of the pros believe that the Rams are getting in. Now, this isn't a normal year, right? So we're not going off that 23 win tally. You know, I used to ask Tad Boyle all the time if there was a number you thought in your mind you had to get to. Obviously, you want to win marquee matchups, but was there an actual win number? And Tad would never really say, but I always kind of thought you have to win 20. You probably need to win 22, 23, and then have a couple of big games in that mix. But obviously, this year's different. The best the Rams can hope to do now with their, and I'm talking overall record, is 20. Yeah, because they have six left. They've won 14 with the UNC bouncing out. So the best they can hope for. So no, you're not really looking at, you're more or less looking at win percentages, kind of like what they did in football. And you're looking at your obviously marquee matchups. And they called quad one? Upper quad? I don't know. Upper quad? Sounds like a torn muscle. So, yeah, I mean, CSU beat Utah State once. They beat Boise State once. They beat San Diego State once. So they beat all of the top four, or three of the top four teams one time. Now if they can just take care of who they're supposed to take care of, they've got this. What is it, New Mexico, Nevada, and Air Force, I believe? And as for the rest of the week, Thursday, UNLV will play Boise State. Yeah, UNLV might be a little sneaky. Might be a sneaky basketball team there. Boy, you saw Boise State lose to Nevada. Could they lose another one? Yeah. Again, CSU's ahead of Boise State right now. So if the Rams control their destiny and win all six, they'll finish second for sure. But Utah State still has a journey ahead of them. Wyoming's on the schedule, as is Boise State. So it's looking really good, man. You got to not drop it. You know, the Rams were looking good last year, too. And what happened? They got into the Mountain West Conference tournament, and they lose to Wyoming in the first round. Now, this is a much better team than last year. No disrespect to Nico Carvacho, our guy, but the youth on that team grew exponentially in the offseason and into this season. I mean, they're a great basketball team. I underrated this team, no doubt about it. Did not expect to see what I'm seeing here. But as they kept going, you know, as they kept rolling, we thought, oh, all right, this team might be able to do something. They might be able to make some noise. And here we sit. They don't necessarily control their own destiny because of Utah State, but they have a darn good spot. So the net rankings that were out earlier, I think about 2 weeks ago, right, had Boise State, San Diego State, Utah State, CSU, all pretty close. But the Rams have been climbing that ever since, and so it's been pretty cool. But Jesse Kurtz has been talking about, we'll try to get him on the program, but he's been busting through, writing stories about the conference and chasing it down to see, you know, where we're going to finish this thing. And man, it's heating up. Unfortunately, you don't have the Wyoming Utah State game tomorrow night, but yeah, definitely a fun spot to be in the conference. Steve Adazio, speaking of Colorado State, we'll switch to some football here. Well, first off, I like this. Coach Adazio opened up the press conference. I got to watch it late because it was during the program yesterday. And hey, I had some nice words to say about, not necessarily about Shaq, but we didn't get that clip. But he said some cool things about Shaq Barron. Just want to say congratulations for being a great Ram. But it was really about introducing a couple of new guys to the staff. John Budmeier, the offensive coordinator. Let's play that clip for you.
OC coming in and really sharing a very similar vision that we have here. And we're very, very aligned, which is really critically important. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're not like, hey, we're going to change our offense. I always believe that, you know, you don't change your offense every time you hire somebody. You know, we have a philosophy. I'm an offensive guy. And we have a system, and you look for people when they come in to enhance it. And I think John's going to do an unbelievable job with that.
I have no idea. He's 31 years old, man. He's a young dude. I guess this whole thing is still just interesting to me. Now you know me. I like ground and pound, running the football, and filling up a great defense. Controlling the clock, playing excellent defense. I've always been into that. And Addazio's saying he's a balanced guy. You guys, you know, he's saying for the most part he's balanced. But I think if you take a look, they're run first, and then they throw. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm actually excited about that. I just think it's such an interesting transition. I mean, Rams fans, are you okay with not being wide receiver you anymore? I mean, win or lose, you were known nationally for that. And I know wide receiver coach moved on a couple of years ago, but Bobo's offense was always an offense constructed to really promote and help wide receivers grow. Even though they talk about being balanced to me means, okay, we're still going to throw the ball, but we're running first. We are going to get a bell cow running back, maybe two, that can carry us. And I'm all right with that. It's just, it was cool to say that CSU was known for something. Well, Shaq Barrett certainly helped that. And you have great players. I'm not taking away from past players, too, but current is what I'm talking about. It was kind of nice to say wide receiver U, because you have, four or five guys in the NFL, Warren Jackson getting ready to go, that are representing CSU and that whole wide receiver U mentality. But you're making the transition. Patrick O'Brien transferred. We know he's gone. Todd Senteo was the other guy last year for Coach Addazio. Here's what Coach has to say about his quarterback.
So we're really super thrilled with Toddy. We feel like he's can be an elite player. I think I said earlier, a lot of people don't realize that he got injured in that first game and really wouldn't have been able to play in that second game against Wyoming. He's a heck of a player and a great leader. And so we have a really good player in Toddy.
I mean, he can run. That's why I liked him kind of last year, right? Was he liked the fact that he could move a little bit, and we knew that it wasn't going to work out with. We just knew it wasn't going to work out with Patrick O'Brien and Addazio. O'Brien was more of a Bobo guy, more of a pocket passer that can get the ball down the field. And Senteo's going to be, hey, they're going to run. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a running back, but they're going to run the ball. 18 minutes after the hour, we'll get more on, the bigger story of the day, I suppose, is talking about the situation with the Nuggets. I mean, where we are with this group, how much pressure should be on this group for change of any kind. Is there a change needed? We'll talk about that and so much more. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party. Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Hear Mornings with Gail. Weekdays 6 to 9 in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to the chiropractic standard in Greeley. Dr. Tyler Terry has been helping me along in my process. They bring you passion and chiropractic expertise that you're just not going to get anywhere else. You know, it's not one of those pop in, get a couple of cracks, and then you're out. You feel good for a moment, but you go to bed, you wake up, and you slept on it wrong, and now it's bad again. And you're just wasting money on something that's just going to be a quick fix rather than long-term success. And listen, so far, it's been a little over a month that I've been going. I think I started after the new year. And so far, I feel great. You know, there it's definitely dedication. You know, you got to go. Me personally, with my situation, I go 2 to 3 times a week, and it's already starting to work. But here's the thing: a lot of people hear and go, oh, I don't want to go to a stuffy clinic and have to sit there and wait till it's nothing like that. You pop in. There's music going. It's got a relaxing vibe to it. You check in at the computer with a little handheld beep, just like you're checking out at the grocery store. You don't have to go sign up and sit down and read magazines. Usually, you know, there's people going, but there's 4 different rooms rocking and rolling, and they get you in. You know, I usually, right when I'm sitting down, my name is called, and I go pop back there, get registered, or just you sign up again for while you're waiting for them to get back there, and boom, they take care of you. And it's a great environment, and everybody knows these chiropractors, Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. They know them, they love them, they trust them, and so do I. And I'm happy to be rolling with these guys, and I'll keep you updated on my status, the Chiropractic Standard in Greeley. Now, going back to CSU to finish up that thought, what are the chances of getting the at-large bid? You know, and how you know what does the resume look like? Well, it's quad one. There's quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four. We talk about the RPI and the strength of your opponent, essentially. So quad one, they're calling it. They're basically saying the Rams have won. They got a 2-3 record with wins against Utah State and San Diego State. Boise State is no longer in quad one, according to the experts. They've slid out since then because of their losses to Nevada. So that Boise State win doesn't look as good now as it did 2 weeks ago. That's sometimes just how this works. But Boise State and Utah State are still both 2-2 in quad one games, while San Diego State's 0-3. Yet San Diego State's considered to be quad one. Yeah, it's RPI. It's fun. Quad two, they're 2-1. When they play Nevada, that's a quad two team, I believe. Quad three, they're 2-0. Quad four, they're 7-0. They take care of the teams that they're supposed to do. They don't really have any bad losses. They haven't lost to any teams that they were supposed to beat. They had an ugly game where they scored 33 points against St. Mary's, and that was bad. But St. Mary's is a good, you know, pretty good team. I would imagine, I don't have it in front of me, but I would imagine they're like a quad one team. So I personally, like, I don't know all the decisions that go into it, and you want to see your strength of schedule, and, you know, can CSU beat good teams? I mean, you got to give them a shot, and you think, all right, what are the best teams to get to the tournament? Because we want this tournament to be fun, we want it to be competitive, and we're thinking about that. I think that the eye test is something that should be taken into account when you watch these games. And everybody on the committee of how they're figuring this out, hopefully they have everybody with eyes on these games and eyes on the guy. You know, once you're halfway through, you start really picking out these teams that you think are going to go. But Kevin Lytle released this with the Coloradoan, you know, that Jerry Palm of CBS Sports had this, and I talked about it yesterday, but released the bracket yesterday. It has CSU as a number 8 seed. And then just for the hell of it, he threw Colorado in at 9 seed to play each other in the first round. There's a lot of other brackets that I've seen that do have CSU in. So this is pretty much the ball is in your court, Colorado State. Not even to win the whole thing. Don't you think, though, don't they have to go 5-1 in these next 6? I mean, I hate to put a number to it like that because so many things can happen. And again, playing these back-to-back games, I feel like, you have to find a way to come out. Basically, you know, we just talked about it. In these quad games, they're beating teams that they're supposed to beat. These are all teams they're supposed to beat. So I would say that this is going to be the pressure's on Colorado State here. And so I don't know. I'm no UNC game now, and starting tonight against New Mexico. I'm not even talking about winning the tournament, the regular season title, just to get in. They might get an at-large bid. They probably will. And I think that if they go 6-0, they're in. I think that puts them at 20 wins. And again, the 20 win mark doesn't mean as much. Doesn't really mean anything this year. But, you know, I still think that those marquee games, and that's what's going to be tough for the at-large bid, is if Utah State, who's ahead of them, loses, if they lose a few of these games down the road, like to Boise State, let's say they lose both, let's say they lose one to Wyoming even, when they reschedule that game. Well, that's going to actually make CSU look not as good. But if CSU still wins all six, they win the regular season title, and that's an automatic bid. So, yeah, the best course of action is just, I mean, I don't have to tell Nico Medved that. I should text him. Hey, just win all of these next games. You do that. If you win all of your games, you're getting in. Because let's just say that Utah State wins out. You know, whoa, okay, you beat Wyoming. Still an improving team. You beat Boise State. All right. So they prove that they're still a quad one, and the Rams found a way to still win out, and they're a 20-win team, but Utah State won out and still won the regular season title. The Rams are still getting in. So, yeah, I mean, Rams fans, what do you think? 19 wins get it for you? Or you think it's going to be 20? You got to win these next six. They're 17.5-point favorites tonight. So, I mean, again, you lose tonight to New Mexico, it severely hurts your chances. Severely. Nevada, different. You know, they're in the quad two kind of deal. New Mexico's the worst team in the conference. So, yeah, the pressure's here. I mean, it's the worst team in the conference, but you lose to a team like this even once, even with the way we're playing these back-to-backs, it severely hurts your chances. In fact, it might knock you out. So the pressure is on tonight and Thursday night. And then Nevada, I still expect you to win. But if you split there, is that going to knock you out? I don't think so, but maybe. And then Air Force, yeah, you got to win. So you got to win both those. So you got to sweep New Mexico, you got to sweep Air Force, and I'm saying at least split Nevada. So yeah, 5-1. I'm saying you got to go 5-1. 31 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, more on the Denver Nuggets. We'll kind of close up that rough outing between Denver and Milwaukee last night. And interesting ratings coming out for the Super Bowl and what it all means. We'll get to that, and later on we'll close out the show and get to what's on the tube tonight. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Had a great conversation with Ken Yamada, the owner of No Limit Collectibles, last week before the Super Bowl. Man, the world he lives in is interesting. I'd like to get him on a lot more. But the shows that he goes to get this great memorabilia and bring it to Northern Colorado, whether that's sports cards or just signed jerseys, signed pictures and framed pictures and things like that. I mean, the game is nuts. He's even like, you know, he's like, I dabble in the stock market, man, but sports memorabilia game, we can control that a little bit more. That's a tangible item, and I like that. So I'd be curious if more and more people are going to start, like, in that area, investing in sports memorabilia. Cards are popping again. He talked about the 90s. You know, basically, we all collected cards in the 90s and thought it was going to be huge. But the thing was they printed the hell out of those cards. Now it's a little bit different. You know, they make a few different prints or whatever, however many prints, and then they stop. I mean, man, I can't tell you how many of the same Michael Jordan cards that I had, and I forgot I had them. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And then, oh, I have 30 of those. But you can go talk to Ken. You can say, hey, maybe I have some cards from back in the day that I think might be worth something. Talk to him. You know, they'll trade, they'll buy, they'll sell, whatever you need there. I love that place, and looking forward to growing with them. No Limit Collectibles in the outlets at Loveland. Buy, sell, or trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. 38 minutes after the hour. Why so hard on Jamal Murray, you ask? He's hurt, Brady. You know, he's still, you know, even on his best nights, he's still going to give you a lot. I got 29.2 million reasons why I'm hard on Jamal Murray. Or how about this? Better yet, 31.5 million. I mean, that's what he's making. He's making more than Nikola Jokic. I mean, that's the brass tacks of it, man. And listen, I can't go back on my word. 2 years ago, I said it's probably going to be Murray, the real superstar, because he's going to be the vocal leader. Joker's always going to be that really unselfish player. And that's just the way this is going to be. But obviously, that's not true. But the Nuggets felt that way. And so they gave him the, you know, they signed him to the 5-year deal. And then they signed Joker to a 5-year deal. So he's, you know, he's on the third year for that. Yeah, because you have Joker locked up from, you know, 2022 to 2023, which doesn't seem that long away. You have him for this season. You have him for next season. And then that season. Yeah. I mean, I know. So you have to start figuring it out. How are you going to sustain success? How are you going to be a Western Conference finals-type team, or at least a team that's toying with it? I mean, the honeymoon period only lasts so long. Look at James Harden. He goes to Houston, and how many times did we say with Houston, oh, they're a contender, but they just can never do it. Now, whether that was Harden or Houston or whatever, Harden finally just said, you know what, it's too much work, I'm out. I'm going to go to Brooklyn. And that's, love it or hate it, this is the game. And like I said, I don't know where Nikola Jokic is mentally with all of this. You know, he seems happy-go-lucky. He's funny in the media. But last night, there was some kind of a switch that flipped. He looked downright frustrated. And it wasn't just with Michael Porter Jr. But it was with this entire situation. And he's pointing to guys, telling them where they need to be. You need to be over there. You need to be over there. What are you doing? Hands are going up. He's trying to clap hard. I mean, I saw a different side, which I liked it. Trust me, this MVP side of Nikola Jokic is fun to watch. I mean, he's always fun to watch. See that no-look pass to Millsap? My goodness. But you got to earn him. What I mean by that, I mean, I'm not comparing it all to the Rocky situation. That's awful. But when does Joker look at this? I mean, this is a short year. So Nuggets kind of got robbed. Every team got robbed, but you know, last year was a weird year with COVID. This year was still a weird year with COVID. So it's a short season. You got him for two more seasons after this one, folks. You got him for the 2021, 2022, 22, 23. So contract negotiations are probably going to be starting again mid-next season. I'm just throwing, and you have Murray locked up through 2025. You have Murray for two more seasons after that. And I know, I'm looking at the Nolan Arenado situation. I'm looking at the NBA as a whole, and I'm saying, now's the time. You got to start showing him the love. You got to start showing him that. And I pointed out, I don't know if he's there, but doesn't he want to win a title? Why wouldn't he? I mean, I know Joker's as happy-go-lucky as they get, but I can't imagine playing at this level not wanting to win an NBA title. And he does have a winning mindset. He's always had the mindset of, I don't care how many points I have. He what did he have, 47 the other night? He had 50, but then the night before that, or two nights before that, he had 47, two games before that. And they were like, were you bummed that, you know, you didn't get out there and get that 50? He's like, I don't care. He's like, whatever it takes to win the game. That's it. And so... That's a great mentality to have, but what he wants to do is win the game. He doesn't necessarily want to be the guy that's scoring 50, 38, 40. I love it. It's fun to watch. But if you're Denver right now, you need to decide, all right, we have Jamal Murray locked up. And that, I mean, dude's going to make 36 mil, then 38 mil his final year. Jamal. And, outside of that, I mean, you know, Gary Harris, he's on his last kind of stint. He's got this year and he's got next. He's still got $20 million in the books. Millsap is done for sure now after this year. You got to start figuring this thing out. Jamal, the Power to Play Sports poll question is, who would you trade? And that's basically just asking the question of, you know, I'm not really talking about the contracts, like assuming a team would go and look at Jamal and say, yeah, we like him. We'd go with him for the next 4 years. I think he'd make a good piece, fit with our team. Because give me a healthy Jamal Murray, and I still think he's a fine player. Even with his inconsistencies, he's still a fine player. Not an all-star. Can he still be one? Sure. Porter can still turn this thing around. He's so young, but he's got to start creating more of a base. But that's my fear, is will your superstar get frustrated? Now, management and ownership in Denver, you guys, they've been competitive since the Melo days. Those of you that hate Melo, it's just so funny to me. That turned this franchise around. This is why I throw Melo in as one of the greatest Nuggets of all time. Like top five, easy, if not higher. You were a joke before Melo. And with Melo, you only had, post-Melo even, you only had what about three dark years? Brian Shaw, it was two dark years? Because Malone was the start of something new. So that wasn't a dark year, that was a new beginning. His first year was the start of something new. So you only missed the playoffs 5 years, but two of those, okay, Brian Shaw tore this thing down to the ground, and then the next three were spending building up, and you were getting better literally every year. So, yeah, Melo, he was a special player to this team, but eventually he looked at it. I don't think he was thinking about championships. He was thinking about marketing. He was thinking about different things. But you have to get to that point where you look at Joker and say, how can we build around you? You have good ownership. You have, Masai Ujiri was sensational. Tim Connelly has been sensational. Like, they lucked out there. And then Calvin Booth now, I don't know if they'll be able to keep him, but, I do think that you are going to be in a situation where at some point a tough decision is going to have to be made. And they've been pretty good about letting guys go that they like. Danilo Gallinari, really liked him, but they made the tough decision. They're going to have to look at this and say, is Jamal Murray going to really grow with Joker? Is Porter someone that can gel with Joker? And what I saw last night made me think the complete opposite. I'm surprised. We're at 70% saying Murray. If it's because you like Porter better than Murray, that's all good. But you should be voting for who's going to be the best guy for Nikola Jokic. Joker loves Jamal, and he loves to play with Jamal. They don't have miscues. What Porter is doing is way different than what Jamal's doing. And I still stand by my deep thoughts. Potentially, I think Porter still has that potential to be a real superstar, as opposed to Murray right now, because Murray's he's in a different spot now. He's still young, but in the NBA terms, Porter's much younger. But at some point, yeah, you gotta make a tough decision here. He said, Chris, has Dixon been cited yet? Very worried. We've had more texts about that. Hooligan strong from East Side Chris. That's good. I don't know where he is. Hopefully he's okay. You're paying Jamal a lot of money, but I still think he plays better with Joker. And I believe it's weird, man, because I watch Porter and I go, I'm falling asleep watching him because he's just like, just kind of moves around a little bit, kind of just moves around with his spacing. He jumps over to the other side of the floor, pops up to the top of the key, kind of holds his hands out like, give me the ball, give me the ball. I'm ready, give me the ball, give me the ball. Then, and I'm not taking the last two games, but then suddenly, boom, he'll have 8 points in two minutes. Where did that come from? Suddenly he looks alive. So I don't know. He's an anomaly. I do think the ceiling is higher for him. I do think that eventually I believe if I was a betting man, I would guess that he's going to get it right at some point. But is it going to be with Denver? And is it going to be before something boils over to the top? That's what I worry about. Is Joker going to lose his cool on the floor with Porter? And it's like, time to move this dude. Because Colfax, you hear it all over the NBA. this player doesn't like that player. We don't want to work with that guy. I don't like the organization anymore. Not cool with this coach. When is it going to come down to Joker basically saying, I'm not seeing it, guys? I mean, these guys are moving around. Murray, even on a bad night, he's moving around. I would say the pressure is on Michael Porter Jr. if he wants to stay in Denver. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question. Who would you trade? And now it's 55% saying Murray, 44% saying Michael Porter Jr. So go to theholeshow.com and vote. Who would you trade between Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr.? It's our Power to Play Sports poll question. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. We're live here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Closing thoughts coming up next. Also, the winner of Top Text Tuesday just around the corner.
Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance. Tonight at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Hulligans. It was a venting your frustration day kind of thing for me, mainly with this Nugget situation. But you know what, Colfax? It's time. It's time. The Broncos gift package is going to the Weld County Swami. Wow. I think that's our fourth winner. We've been doing this a while, but that's what it takes. You gotta work hard, man. You gotta bring it every night. You can't be Jamal Murray. You can't be Michael Porter Jr. You gotta be Nikola Jokic. And today, Weld County Swami was Jokic. He wins the Denver Broncos gift package. We will unveil a new prize beginning next week. What will that prize be? You always know with Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte, it's gonna be something awesome. We've done Philip Lindsay signed jerseys. We've done signed Ed McCaffrey footballs before. We've done Denver Nuggets gift packages, Broncos gift packages. This next thing's going to prove to be awesome. I'm excited to see it. Good luck to all the Hooligans, and good night, Northern Colorado.